Harmontown is once again in session, everybody. Oh, yeah. That's right. Welcome once again to Hollywood, California, the Nerd Melt Theater. And thank you for listening out there in podcast universe. Please put your hands together for the Groove Master, the mayor of Harmontown, Mr. Dan Harmon.
Yo, 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 yo. Freestyling, freestyling, rapping wild, freestyling, not rhyming, rapping wild, yo.
Freestyle.
Yo, I saw your mama, saw her the other day. Saw your mama, I support the gays. I saw your mama, I told her that. She said, fuck them. What you think about that? Your mama's not an advocate. She doesn't think they should vote or get married. I said, bitch, it's politically hairy. You're in California. You gotta be open-minded. And here's what your mama said. She said, you know what? I didn't find that be the case. And she started rattling off all kinds of right-wing bullshit at me. So I fucked your mama.
Dan Harmon, everybody. Oh, yeah.
That was a little bit of a... I felt like that was a little bit of a... I don't know, what do you call that? I felt like it was a little bit of a...
It's experimental.
It was kind of populist smoke, I think I was spewing there.
Yeah.
I knew my crowd. I knew where they land.
I mean, yeah. I mean, I think what we're doing right now is, you know, we have a giant tour coming up that's looming. And are we recording? I hope that you can hear the sound of the crickets that are in this building.
The actual, literal
because
crickets.
If you ever want to really just lay a stinker of a joke out there, the crickets will be there to add high relief.
I'm kind of excited, and I don't mean this sarcastically. I really am excited about how already, I think we just kind of started in earnest sort of think of this as a movie that we're going to be shooting about the tour that we're going on. And the big question is, like, how do you shoot a movie about a tour that you're going on? How do you shoot a movie about anything if there's no script and these things? You bring cameras and you hope not to affect anything. But it's like already our awesome director, Neil, who does not want to be spoken about on camera. So... So this will
he's
not,
right over there, everybody. Ryan, can
this,
we get a shot?
This will not
him?
Be in the movie, but he's like Bob Vila already, but with a camera, like, he came out, I was like, rip that curtain down. But that curtain is the thing that... And it's like, stand by the light, get over there, the thing. And like, it's good. Like, I'm more comfortable knowing that I'm in the hands of someone who's not... Like, if I say something particularly profound... By the refrigerator.
Which is almost
I don't want to find out later that if I had stepped 3 inches back, I would have looked awesome and sounded awesome. So he's like, move, and it's like, it's definitely going to affect everything, which is kind of an interesting thing, because if it wasn't, it would be weird that it wasn't affecting everything. We had to rip that curtain. I was starting the show. That curtain's there to block light from the comic book store from spilling into here. It's also to block your vision of me, because we go by the bridal rules of what constitutes... If you see me before the show, the mystique is blown. Most of you are responding for most of these nights to, like, well, is that what he looks like? I didn't. He's so beautiful.
He's hard as a rock.
It's a special day.
Apparently, that curtain was also there to keep crickets out of the building.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm a little embarrassed about the crickets.
We have to get a microphone on those crickets so we can just add cricket sound.
So you have a lot of art imitating life, imitating art, imitating things. It's going to be very exciting to just get in a bus and go for 20 days and 20 nights. I never understood that expression. Why do you have to add that there's no one, nothing is ever, like, what is that from menorah times? Or what? Like what is there? Was there like a Jewish thing that happened where something happened for 8 days that didn't happen for 8 nights and that was a miracle and we need to keep track of that so everything else like your bank tells you, well, this is for 8 days and 8 nights. This isn't a fucking menorah. I'm making up the menorah thing. I'm just grabbing at something that might have.
See, I always think of it because I got to guest announce at Price is Right for a couple months and it's you and a guest will go to Cancun, Mexico for 6 days and 4 nights.
Yeah, 4 days. Yeah. You're covered on the water slide parks for the last 2 days, but fuck if you're getting a hotel.
Yeah.
That's where the expression comes from. It's a capitalist expression. I mean, we never had to differentiate days and nights until they started costing money. Yeah. $680 days and $480 nights. You out of pocket, you can do whatever you want, Gladys. That's the typical Price is Right winner, I'm sure.
Yeah. Uh-oh.
No, I just do that to hope that I come up with something else to say. AIDS! AIDS! Who's aware of AIDS? No, didn't. Yeah. Scraping the barrel.
Who hasn't?
Boy, those Muppet movies, overrated. Keep doing. Oh, that new Batman movie stinks.
Oh, what you should be asking yourself is why a bad guy would sound like this. Seems counterintuitive.
I realize I'm the last person to see this movie, and I'm so thankful for that.
What movie are you talking about?
Batman's Risings. That's my new form of protest. This is what I figured out old people, because I'm becoming one of them. Like, that's why they do it. They're doing it to fuck with you. What are you watching that? Like you're wearing a Nike shirt. And like, what are you, Nick? Is that your name on your shirt? You Nick? It says Nike. Nike? What? It's a kind of shoe. So what, do you work for them? I don't get it. I don't get anything. That's my protest. It's kind of cool. It's like, it's a lot less energy and a lot more result, because you just thrive on all the young people going, fuck you, fuck you. No, I could explain it. Fuck you, old man. You don't get bubble gum? If you're chewing it, why don't you swallow it? You know what? I'll wait till you figure it out. Maybe you'll get your big break one day, bubble gum. Sounds like a great idea. Candy you don't swallow. Good, call me in the morning. I gotta figure out this goddamn TiVo. Well, if Knight Rider's on when it's on, why do I gotta wait for it?
That's gonna be me. It's already me. What was I talking about?
AIDS.
AIDS.
Batman.
It's a bitch, AIDS.
Batman.
Like, it'll kill you flat in seconds.
You're talking about Batman, somebody.
And it's contagious through air. I'm making it up. Don't listen to me. Batman sucks also. But hey, I'm the guy that said you could get AIDS by breathing. What do I know? Make your own opinion. Or if you want to make your opinion based on fear,
listen to this guy. My name's Bane. I'm the villain for 90% of Batman Rising. This is the voice you'll be expected to fear for most of the movie. A lot of people have pointed out that I sound like Daryl Hammond's Sean Connery. Still others postulate I'm a dog poem era Jimmy Stewart. In any case, not a villainous sounding man.
Can I hear some villainous dog poem? Could you do a villain Jimmy Stewart Batman dog poem?
My old friend comes to me after rabbit chastened dreams. I reach down and can still feel his now dead hair. This is a work in progress. I'm workshopping this. I haven't. My dog just died. Thought you'd appreciate the passion. If you want something overworked, go down the street to E.E. Cummings. Gets to a point where you're using exclamation points in your poem. Figure you've been thinking about it too much. Figured my dog died. You might want to fucking hear about it. Fuck me. I'll leave the Tonight Show.
No, wild stuff. Stay.
Ha ha, yes.
it's Doc Severinsen. All of you are out. You're all out. You're like, what part of Arsenio is this? That's nostalgia for you, is the woof woofs. I worship Johnny Carson. I actually predate, when I was a kid and I was watching people perform for people, my first hero, I believe, was Johnny Carson in terms of like coming out, talking to people. And I was right on the bubble because like I was probably 10 or 11 when Letterman like got his show and was like this young spry weirdo with this gap in his teeth and just bright red hair and wrestling shoes and dunking himself in water with Alka-Seltzer suits on and stuff. You guys know the drill. I mean, you know, you're required to know a certain amount of comedy history. You weren't actually there at what I call comedy stock. Just that one episode where he dunked himself with Alka-Seltzer. It's probably the worst episode of Letterman ever. I don't know. Can we get back on track? I want to streamline tonight. I don't want to...
Stay on target.
I don't want to get off on a lot of tangents tonight. But I love Johnny Carson, and I used to put on little shows, and I would tap my little pencil, and I had a thermos cup lid, and like if it was Mother's Day, instead of giving my mom a Mother's Day gift, I would put on a Mother's Day show, and I would say the Mother's Day show, and then I would sit there and I would just emulate Johnny Carson. I would tap my pencil. My mom's in back right now, just drunk off her ass. You can hear her stumbling around. She did not take to L.A. well. She found out there's more than margaritas. She's six smack sheets to the wind. I don't know what drug terminology. I think smack comes in sheets.
Is she a heroin-using sailor?
Yeah. She does it mellow. She just shoots up, listens to Kenny Loggins on the marina. I don't know where I'm going with that. I used to perform, and then I realized at a certain point, well, this is very difficult. Oh, it was our documentary crew stumbling around the chairs. Maybe, I don't know.
Yeah, fucking.
That's funny too.
we should have a documentary crew following the documentary crew.
Don't start. I'll get fired. Enough of that. Let's do something for the nice people for once in a while. Let's pretend someone's watching other than a person that makes shows, you elitist meta asshole. Enough. I don't want to go to the museum and see paintings of frames. So clever, Dan Harmon. You're so goddamn clever. Oh, a painting of a thing that's supposed to be around a pet. Oh, maybe I'm part of the... Actually, that's pretty cool. I should give that an Emmy.
What do you think the final product is going to be? When you and I have come home, there's been two attempts in our lives. We will have gone through a lot together. What do you think the final product... I mean, obviously, it's in the hands of... Our shy Neil Berkeley director who doesn't want to be mentioned, and yet we will persist in mentioning him as often as possible.
Shy in front of the camera, but a real George S. Patton behind it. Like, it's like, you get hit. It's like, no, you son of a bitch, no, no.
This curtain goes.
I had to talk him into doing the movie again after he came up here. It took three Amstels to get him to really actually say, no, I'm doing it.
Because he came and saw the show.
He had a... Yes. Frankly, yes. I don't know. But no, he didn't say as much, but I'm insecure, obviously. I think he's insecure. We're both... Like, a conversation between two guys whose job is to try to receive people and figure them out. It was like taking two saucers, trying to make them stick. It was like, we need the Chinaware equivalent of a penis in here, or we need to start mixing metaphors. But I don't want to insult women by saying we were two vaginas scissoring. I just want to edit all this out of the movie and of the... Also, I think what it all came down to is I had to promise him, it's your movie. I'm not the kind of guy that's going to go, hey, okay, so remember when we got our drive-through food, like, and it was wrong, and I just revealed that my true feelings about just all black people. Is there any way you could change the N-word to to N-word instead of the N-word. Because it just doesn't, I don't think, you don't think it's going to make a good movie? No, I'm sure it'll make a good movie for you, but I would really like to be able to go back home and get some work. Well, I'm looking at a whatever the this kind of film equivalent of a Pulitzer is, so... No, but he's. She should be allowed.
Academy
to,
Award, I think they call it.
It must be. There's got to be some kind of a some kind of word for a film award. This is going to work well on the road. When I can't think of what state we're in. Where are we? New Mexico and Phoenix. People just
and also
get up and rape
we're
me.
We're not going to have any time to be in any of these towns. We're going to be in Nashville, Tennessee, and we will have seen nothing. We will be on stage, and we might as well be here.
So when I go out in Phoenix on January 10th, like I'm going to go, okay, think of something Phoenix related, get them on your side, and I'm going to go, hey, birds should stay on fire.
You know what you do?
They shouldn't be ashes, and they're all going to go.
You know what we should do? We should think of the list of the cities that we know we're going to, ask if anybody here is from there or has lived there, and get some sweet little local nuggets.
All right. You know, anybody from Arizona here? See?
Yeah. Okay.
We're going through the curtain of night on this tour. What I was thinking is, like, is there a way to train? Like, can I train? The two things I do that make me the most phobic are, like, audience reaction. Like, I'm used to these guys. They love each other. They love me. They're very good people.
They're racist.
They're from Los Angeles. We share a culture. I've lived here for 15 years or more. And I don't know. They're my people. We're in the back of a comic book store. Like, then... You know, something's going to be fundamentally different besides just barometric pressure, which is a huge thing. It's not to be quibbled with. I've been in Denver. I got a nosebleed at the airport, and I forgot to take the pot out of my girlfriend's purse, and we were there for an extra 6 hours. It was like all because of the little altitude.
Yeah.
Like, and I wasn't performing. I was just trying to get some pot back home.
Now, do you know that there's a hard, fast rule that you cannot take a shit on the tour bus? You know that, right? That's a rule.
I mean, I know that Dave Matthews Band like broke that rule. I heard that story about the Dave Matthews Band. Like, I guess there's a hose that comes off the bus. It's like a poop hose that you can just like, I don't know, the tour manager like just was like, all right, we're breaking a minor rule, but there's so much poop in there. I mean, it's the Dave Matthews Band. They work hard. They poop harder.
I've heard their music.
Let's let some of this pressure off. Let's give the kids a break. They've earned it. And he just kind of hit the release valve, and I guess it just sprayed all over some boat passing by where a guy was like, and here's another thing.
Huh?
Chicago River, they were going over the river, and there was a ferry underneath it, and they emptied it and hit all the people on the ferry.
Oh. Yes.
That's my description was pretty accurate. She said they were on the Chicago, there was Chicago River, and they were on a bridge, and they dumped it over the bridge, and a ferry, it landed on the ferry.
Yeah. Or as I call it, a record release by the Dave Matthews Band. Shit all over your head.
They did set one Dave Matthews record. Those people will all be remembering that release for years.
Dave Matthews Band and Blues Traveler can get in a fucking boat and die. Those are the fucking worst. Oh. No. Stand up, Blues Traveler supporters. Show yourself. Adam Goldberg, I knew it. You fucking... Praise from Caesar.
Did you see the weird stance that Adam just made? I'm gonna do what
I don't know how to differentiate weird from not weird stances with that guy.
I'm gonna describe it first and then do it. He did. Adam stood up and did that. He stood up for the Dave Matthews Band, and then while people jeered, he did a stance that I'm going to label and diagnose. I'll come up if you want me to come up. He went. So do the Dave Matthews thing, and then I'll stand up and be Adam Goldberg and do what he did.
Dave Matthews can go fuck themselves.
You kind of did like Peter Pan flying, like waiting for the wires to do their trick.
Yeah, kind of like Usain Bolt in the starting blocks, ready to come up.
All right, maybe later, Adam.
Yeah. Wait, Dave Matthews. Oh, no, I'm not saying it's you can't poop on the tour bus because you're not supposed to release it on tourists' heads as you're going
it's
over a river.
Because then everyone's in the bathroom.
No, because you live on a bus, and you poop on a bus, and it smells like poop forever, for the rest of the trip. And there's no going backwards from that. You are now living in a Chevron men's restroom. Right. And you're not supposed to do it. You have to ask the driver to pull over and say, I'm going to go make it, you know.
Make a tutu. Can I make a tutu? I don't know. We got to make Saskatchewan by 1300. Tour talk. But I got to make a tutu. Hey, your tutu is gonna have to make a kazoo on the when we get to Flagstaff.
He's bound and down, loaded up and trucking.
He thinks Saskatchewan's in the U.S. I really am that. I don't. I'm about to take my lack of.
Where do you think Saskatchewan is? Do you know where?
It's in Canada.
Where though? Precisely.
It's right above the U.S. Like. I've right. lived here my whole life. I know where Saskatchewan is.
My bad.
You go, like, I was like, Chicago's down, Saskatchewan's up. From Milwaukee. But for some reason, you go through Michigan, even though that's also down, or it's inside, because there's a peninsula.
Where's Belgium?
That's east. For sure.
Yeah. Oh, he's good.
Yeah. All right. But if you go west long enough, I also know you can go, everything's also west. Because it's like Pac-Man. I know that you will. It's not the most efficient thing, but it could be the most strategic in a pinch. You take the tunnel. Sometimes you got to do it, Pac-Man fans.
Didn't you self-anoint yourself as Pac-Man? Wasn't that your nickname for a while?
Yeah. In the 80s, like, how many people, I don't know, you don't have to applaud or anything, but, like, there's, like, a thing, I think this is, like, an American thing, like, because we're so capitalist and, like, consumerist, whatever you call it, snobby languageist, you are defined by what you consume, and, like, you know, there's not a ton of roller rinks or anything to, like, you start buying, you know, you're like, oh, I'm into She-Ra, that's my thing, like, I'm the She-Ra person, like, you look for an identity. I think it's a lot easier. I think that's why kids seem cooler now. It's not just because I'm getting old. It's because they have like a subscriber base. They can just be into like bands that they, you know, that a normal kid would never have heard of. But now you kind of have to as a kid. You have to survive. You have to kind of pick through scraps and like pick your own bird food. You can't just wait for mama to in your mouth. To Dave Matthews in your mouth. Can't wait for that tour bus to pull up, put its hose down your little baby bird gullet. And...
That's so great.
Hey, guys. You know...
Yeah, you're going to miss us when we're gone.
Yeah. Yeah, we'll be back. But,
Are we going to have a triumphant return back here? Our last show should be here, right?
That's what Neil was asking the green room. He was saying, like, so you're going on tour, Neil, who shall remain unnamed. Yeah.
Neil Berkeley, filmmaker.
Mr. Fly on the Wall.
Right.
Mr. Wizard. Mr. Dumbledore. Was that the good guy?
Huh? We went through this. I don't know
no
the first...
No tangents.
Yeah.
Zero tangent show tonight. Zero tangent show. We got a lot to talk about. He was saying something that was interesting. It was like... Do you, you're going out on a big 20-city tour or whatever it is. I keep saying 20, I'm making it up. But you have an opportunity to come up with a theme at the top of it. And I was like, I think he was just, he didn't really mean that. He just knew that would make me launch into a thing about how the theme wouldn't, we could just have to go out there and do nothing and hope for the best. But then he said, this is, I had not considered, I think this is a valid point. He being my dad, if this is in the movie, we'll pretend that it wasn't Neil that said this. But I thought it was profound. He said, well, what about these people out here? You're going to be gone for all that time. They're going to be listening to you every night because we're going to podcast. We're taking Dustin Marshall, our producer, with us out there, and we're going to be pumping out the jams every night. I don't expect you to listen to it every night, but...
Do you guys like nightly jams?
Yeah. Do you like them pumped out?
All over your face underneath a bridge? Yeah, that's what we're talking about. We're going to Dave Matthews this shit. Yeah.
What a word you say. Don't look up too much. troop.
Is that one of their songs?
I don't know if they got it. Then they get these poor people, they start off, if I know my fairy terminology, like, a fairy takes you from one place to another, so you're like, like, so people are just like, well, there's only one way to get from Racine to Sheboygan. Let's get on this here contraption. And so there are people on there with a legitimate, they're like, I drove my car into this thing because I prefer driving, thank you. Father, stop it. You're just on a boat for a goddamn minute. It's not the Poseidon Adventure. Just relax.
What's the worst?
I don't know why I can't get in my old station wagon and just drive to Sheboygan instead of you always do this when we're on. I'm just telling you that change is bad. Oi, brother! Well, what you say? Into the green morning, Carlos Hell's here. I'm down and seen him.
I mean, because like at least like if it was like ZZ Top shit on you, you go, yeah, yeah, it's kind of cool.
Something for Dad to enjoy. Like that was David Lee Roth.
Yeah.
All right. Loved Panama. Lost my virginity to it. Who's Dave Matthews? Here, Dad, I'll play something for you. Well, now I got shit on twice. Easy target, easy fish in a barrel.
Oh, no, fuck them. They're the worst.
You know that they had to, when they saw the newspaper, they were like, fuck, this is not a good dot for people to be able to connect. We are now famous for taking a shit on people. Yeah, it's like when you name your show, worst show ever, you know, like,
I'm sure that, I'm sure everything you and I have said has been well-tilled soil by comics ever since that happened. I just don't know, but holy fuck.
Oh, yeah.
Also, in the same boat accident where they all die, Smash Mouth is in that boat, too. Smash Mouth may automatically go fuck off and disappear forever because they're the worst.
Did you ever hear the thing on the YouTubes? You can go on. It seems to be like systematically, like it's getting redacted. But there was a thing. First of all, you can hear David Lee Roth doing, like, I can't remember what song it is. Is it Panama?
I think it's Panama. Yeah, just his.
And
vocals.
It's David Lee Roth just his vocals. You know, which that's a very awkward thing to subject a vocal artist to. Like that is not their. Nobody wants to be heard that way necessarily. But it just goes to show. Like David Lee Roth's got some pipes. It's amazing. He sounds silly. He sounds like an amazing silly man with an amazing silly throat, capable of hitting amazing silly notes, and like is totally into his job and got hired for that job for a reason. And there's another one that's exactly like it, that's the Smash Mouth guy, and it's such a fucking it's such a trip, it's such a bummer.
If anybody can find that, let's play it. Can anybody pull that up on their phone and we can play it through the mic right
now? Nah, don't worry about it, just Google it.
I want to hear it.
Last week here at the space, we called Chevy on the phone, Chevy Chase. And asked him if he
voicemail.
Would come play.
Got the voicemail.
He got his voicemail and left a message asking if he'd come play Dungeons and Dragons with us here this week. He called me back promptly the next day and was very, very sweet and cool. And he and I have always gotten along, kind of, in an odd.
Really?
Yeah, I just hated working with him. I tell you, when it comes to like understanding a person, like God help me, I've never understood a man better. Just my time with him in the trailer, like hearing him like talk about how my show wasn't funny and stuff like that. In between that stuff, though, he was saying things that I understood. I was like, yeah, I know how you feel. Like, I don't want to die either. Like, I want to punch God in the face and everyone that represents his sloppy work too. You know, I deserve better than this too. Like so he and I have always. I mean,
do you have his voicemail? Reply?
I do use the term loosely, but I would call him a friend.
Did you answer the phone or do you have his reply on your phone?
Oh no. He and I talked for 20 minutes. Okay. I don't think he knows what voicemail is because I said, did you hear the voicemail? And he said he was going to go listen to it. But I texted him this morning because it was like, but he's in New York. He was going to come. You should know that he's that bums you out, doesn't it? But, well, not to throw him under the bus, but the idea of him coming was about as good as it was going to get. I think he would have walked out and you would have gone like, holy shit! And then he would have started talking and he would have been like, shit!
Hello, what you say?
It's just a layman's opinion. He's said worse about my acumen, so or even Steven. We can both take it. But anyways, I wanted to point that out, that Chevy Chase, after all
but
this.
But he may come. He still may come, right?
Not tonight.
No, not tonight, but like eventually. Like,
oh, yeah. No, he's more likely to come than anybody, because he's like, I don't know. He loves, like, I'll tell you one thing about him that's really amazing. He's never been a refusenik in terms of, like, he loves people loving him, and people who run up to him on the street and just go, holy shit, you were Fletch. Like, he does not go, yeah, go fuck yourself. Like, I'm sick of that shit. He goes like, yeah, I was. Like, I was. And like I was on the set once. There was a guy making hot dogs, and like and he was like, you know, he's like, holy shit, fucking Chevy Chase, give a Chevy Chase a hot dog, man, it's fucking crazy. And I was like standing in line behind Chevy, going like, ah, come on, don't be tacky, hot dog guy, you know, don't you know the culture, like, treat him like a living ghost or you might lose your job, you never know. Like half of the 90% of the actors might walk away and go like, hot dog vendor acknowledged my fame, lose it, you know. But Chevy was like, I mean, he just plays like everything that would be in that guy's fantasy, everything in his head that was telling him, just say something, better that you do than if you don't. Like, Chevy affirms that all the time, and anybody that like accosts him. And he was like, he's like, can I call my sister's not going to believe this. And I'm like, again, pushing it. Come on, you got the thing. Chevy takes the phone and goes like, hey, who is this? Who is it? He starts fucking around with the guy's sister. Like, walked away with the phone, talked to her for 20 minutes, came back. The guy was like pissing like hot dog vendor pee. He was pissing hot, regular urine. They're human. Shame on you.
But then, isn't the show...
They don't piss hot dogs. They're human beings. This is why I got to get out of L.A. You guys just immediately think a hot dog vendor. I bet they pee hot dogs. No, they vote.
Not in Nashville, they don't. You're going to learn that the hard way.
No, come on. Nashville's great.
Yeah.
Just practicing for Nashville, guys.
But like, isn't this show kind of one long call to your friends... To a stranger's girlfriend? I mean, wouldn't he, like, the non-refusenik part of him, wouldn't he love this?
No, because he doesn't like the people he works with. He doesn't like, is that what you're asking?
Isn't this a good setup for him?
Oh, because, yeah, that's what I'm saying. He'll be here for sure.
But will he be good here? Like, it sounds like he'll
No.
He won't be good.
No, he'll freak people out. He'll be like, oh, let's go, wow, oh, what's happening? And then everyone will go like, oh, that's a bit. And then he'll call me Doug Herman, like, and you'll be like, fucking classic. Always forgets the name. And then he'll like, I don't know, man. I'm telling you.
I think it's a coin toss. I think it's either going to be a bummer like you think, or some sort of weird magical breakthrough will happen.
That would be cool. I've learned one thing for sure. Like, keep it above board. Like, keep calling him out. Keep, you know, don't like chuckle nervously and go, okay, we gotta, like, just go like, what the fuck are you talking about? Now, so that he like has a chance to respond.
I will go to my grave a happy little asshole if we can get Chevy to either play Dungeons and Dragons with us or freestyle rap.
Yeah.
I think he's got a rap in him.
Well, you know, he actually classically does. He had a rap album like when he was like in his 20s.
No, he didn't.
Google it. Google it.
See, if our website, we should have a link. You should be able to click on that moment on the podcast.
We will. Then, yeah. We will have a website. You can click on all this stuff. It's true. It's true.
We won't, but never will. We never will.
No, Sharuz, our webmaster, had a he had some kind of family, or no, personal. He had a Sharuz is what? What were you?
I was just laughing at some kind of family.
Oh, Sharuz has got some kind of family. I don't know. I guess it's an Indian name. He's probably got probably like 1,000 people. That are really going to, hey, what's going on over there? No, that's the racist, horrible, shitty, edited out, whitewash it. the Shrews, our web genius, something happened, like it was doubled up, like he ripped something in his leg or something, so his leg was useless, and then he got in a car accident, or the other way around. Like, they weren't related. They were two things that should go together, but...
Is he okay?
Yeah, he's fine. I mean, fuck him. Get back to work.
Yeah.
No. Where's our website? He had a lot of shit happening, and we're probably not paying him very much, if anything.
Well, I'm not.
Well, I don't check my own books, so he may have embezzled millions of dollars.
Are we paying Neil Berkeley?
Yeah. Well, Neil is... Neil doesn't exist, first of all.
What?
Neil doesn't exist.
He's right fucking behind me right now.
He's like Drop Dead Fred or any of the characters from Inside Herman's Head or Right Said Fred or yeah, fuck you, Herman. Trying to string three rhyming 80s references.
You almost got there.
Third one wasn't about an imaginary character, though. Neil is Neil. This is a labor of love for him. He's in it for the art.
He's not getting paid?
Well, if the movie makes money.
Oh, okay.
We'll give him some.
Am I getting paid?
You will be a salaried employee of Harmontown Incorporated, which is just formed.
No, I just want to sit in the bus and sit in my pajamas and play ukulele and sing Pringles Dick and just be along for the ride. Pringles is in the writer, by the way. We're having Pringles cans on the tour bus.
We got to draw up a budget. We got to do all these things. One thing that, because Neil and I were talking, and Neil, who does not exist and is not affecting the movie at all, after three Amstels, getting him to agree to do the thing, further talking about what we could do, he...
You can get Neil Berkeley to do almost anything after three Amstels.
He said that...
What a work you, sir!
He will shit up a bridge on your head.
that's called an ultra Danny Thomas. If there's a giant coffee table under the over the ferry.
You've got three people on that reference.
Yeah.
At Cantor's Deli, Danny Thomas, famous comedian, father knows best, Lebanese descent, great comedian, lovely man, apparently liked to poop on coffee tables. Or have people poop on coffee tables above him?
Above him, I think.
Yeah, and that was his thing, apparently. Who knows? It could be the Richard Gere gerbil thing. Like, we don't know. But at Cantor's Deli, and I'm almost certain this is the truth, I remember this, there's the number one is the Jackie Gleason, the number three is the Bob Hope, and that's the corned beef or whatever. The number two was the Danny Thomas.
Number two.
And it was a hot roast beef sandwich. Which looks like a turd on a bun. And it was the fucking number two. And I know a woman whose family was a part owner of Cantor's, and they cannot verify if that was a happy accident or just mischief. Menu mischief. The number two. He liked to be shit on.
Anyways, this guy who doesn't exist that I was talking to about the show and the possibilities of going on tour did point out that he felt that his colleagues who came to the show for the first time, who don't know Dan Harmon from fuck all and nor Harmontown, and you know, they're just professionals coming to a show, they said above and beyond that D&D was the highlight of the show and that it would be a crime to not do D&D on the road when we go to these different cities. So Spencer is asking off of work, which is a decision he'll forever regret. And Dustin's coming with us, which means that we will be, yeah, we'll be a mobile D&D pumping, like, Mobisode.
Mobisode! Mobisode!
My dream is to start a Mobisode company and approach the Mobisodes as if they're webisodes. I'm tired of Mobisodes having their own standard. I want, like, why did we stop thinking of them as webisodes? Why did we stop? Yeah. There's things that you do for a webisode.
Uh-huh.
You put a minimal amount of the money left over from your TV show into them. You hire a non-union crew. You do almost nothing. Why can't you do that for Mobisodes?
Did you make up Mobisode?
No, I did not, sir.
No?
No, no.
Oh, somebody's already said
no.
That?
No. But... That and the word webinar exists.
Right. They get to go on the Smash Mouth boat.
Somewhere someone is using the word webinar, like, for real.
Webinar.
Yeah, webinar.
Fuck,
so
no.
If you watch the webinar, it's like a webinar. Seminar on the web. It's a...
I worked with, oh hell, what the fuck is his name?
Webinar Donaldson?
Steve O'Donnell, a writer, and he used to write, like, he was a Letterman's writer forever, and he and I had a love of, kind of a love-hate relationship with word combinations, where, like snackatizers, you know, like things like that, like you hate them. Or appetizers or stuff like that. He used to give me voicemails. He goes, "Hey Jeff, it's Steve O'D. I'm on a
Steve O'D.
Yeah, I'm on a plane right now, taxiing in LaGuardia, and I'm looking through the Sky Mall magazine, and I'm reading about a electric blanket that boasts of its stimulaxing qualities."
Stimulaxing.
The only good one I've ever heard, the only one that I actually can sign off on. My brother used to be a bartender at the Chart House, the seafood restaurant. And every year they would have their annual extravaganza. And that's a fucking goodie.
That's good
a goodie.
If you come up with extravaganza, I'm in your corner.
Yeah. Also, the only spooktacular is good. A haunted house.
Spooktacular is so good that there's no such thing as a spectacular anymore. Yeah. I don't think anyone here been to a spectacular since 98? Like, no. I think it's only spooktaculars now from now on.
Yeah. But not fucking webinar. No webinars.
Webinar's dumb.
Mobisode.
Here's the difference between extravaganza and spooktacular and webinar. No one wants to go to a fucking seminar. No one wants to be on the web. No one wants you combining anything in that area. No matter how much you combine, you're not going to make it fascinating. Right. Fuck you. It's just a shitty guy telling me how to do my job.
I don't want nutraceuticals either.
Yeah. We don't need it. You can do all the dandying you want with all the syllables in the world, but
make it spooky,
you know,
and
a boring job's a boring job. It's not an adventure-tunity.
Somebody that worked at a camp, and they were their title, and they had a business card. The poor fucker as the director of edutainment.
Edutainment.
Oh. Fuck.
Why not?
No. Absolutely not.
All right. Well, just give me a taste. Okay, you guys be Phoenix. Okay. And just run me through some scenarios. I want to start training for the tour. Oh my god, this show and then the next show we do, and then I believe the next time I go on stage in front of a microphone, I will be in front of a sober jury of Phoenician eyes. They're called Phoenicians, right?
Yes. Yeah, they're Carthaginians.
Depending on if they're loyalists or what. Well, all right. So, I don't know. Like, I just want to run through the ringer a little bit. I can't prepare for everything, but you guys are so loving all the time. Could you just boo me? Like, have Jeff introduce me and then just. All right. Well, try this. Like, do this. Like, be unimpressed with me for and then whatever thought I launch into, let it hit a button for you.
Do you want me to do fake intros where you come on, say hello, Phoenix, and like do a couple, and or do you want to just like be in the middle of it?
Yeah, fire something up. Do it.
Zach, are you back?
As you can. So I'm gonna come up. Just basically, just sit in silence. Like, you're a crowd. You paid $10. This is some bullshit. Or pretend you paid $1,000. And then no one's going to pay $1,000. I'm just saying, like, get yourself in the zone. And you're like, who's this guy? I came to the Chuckleback Steakhouse. And even from the name, I'm in a bad mood because it's doesn't rhyme with anything. It's not.
All right, everybody, welcome to the Chuckleback Steakhouse, Phoenix, Arizona. Put your hands together for the mayor of Harmontown, Dan Harmon.
Yo. I fucked your mama. I fucked her in the mouth. I fucked your mama in the north and the south. I fucked your mama. I fucked her good. I fucked your mama in her neighborhood. I said, fuck your mama. Fuck your mama till she dies. I fucked your mama because I love pizza pies. Fuck
Dan,
your mama. All right, cool.
No, Dan,
cool.
You had him.
No. All right. Hey, Phoenix, how you doing, everybody? Yeah. All right, guys, take it easy. Guys, take it easy. Phoenix, I love you guys. I love it. I love it here in New Mexico. I'm not prepared for it.
All right.
I don't know how to get them back when that happens.
Austin, Texas, put your hands together for the mayor of Harmontown. His first time at the Taj Mahal. Welcome, Dan Harmon.
Texas! Not starting with a rap. Learned my lesson in Phoenix. Fuck Phoenix, right? Fuck Phoenix! Yeah! I fucked your mama because the bitch is from Phoenix. I fucked her in her mouth and her penis. She's got a penis because the bitch is from Phoenix. Transgender awareness is keenest. Oh, no, I'm sorry. I forgot Austin is the transgender capital of the South. Shit. I'm sorry.
Nashville, Tennessee. Welcome to Chuckle Muffins. Put your hands together for the mayor of Harmontown, Mr. Dan Harmon.
Tennessee! Yo, my dick is big, and it's big as Tennessee. Everyone's dick is in Tennessee is as big as mine. Yeah. Fuck your mamas. I didn't. Fuck. All right. Ha, Tennessee. Let's not rap in Tennessee. Tennessee. Thank you so much for having me. It's so fucking great to be here. I'm so sorry about the election results.
Yeah.
You know what? It was a squeaker, and my audience is liberal. I meant I was sorry about them because of how much of a squeaker it was. It shouldn't have been. You should have been right because you guys voted for the right person, Tennessee. I heard I want it too much from a Tennessean in the. All right. Hey, fuck you, Tennessee. Fuck you. Hey, fuck you, buddy.
It's not worth it.
Nobody leaves with a camera. Lock the doors. Send them to the assassination trench. That's when you find out I got billions of dollars.
Right.
It's just hovercopters come down. Mow everybody.
Okay, now based on what you've learned on your first three stops.
I don't know what I've learned.
No. Just let it wash over you. Now let's just thrust ourselves right into the middle of Tallahassee, Florida. Right? This is the second act, like the meeting with the goddess of Tallahassee.
My dad beat me real hard. That's why I drink. I drink in the backyard. I'm trying to open myself up to you. Tallahassee, what you say we're going to do? We're going to get everyone up on stage. Oh, Tallahassee, get up and dance. Fuck you, motherfucker. I knew it. How much money do you spend fucking with me? This guy's a fucking asshole. It's Greg Barrett.
Yeah, Greg Barrett. Greg Barrett. No, Greg Barrett's gonna come and fuck with us the whole way. We know that.
Fucking A.
Yeah. Other comics are not gonna make this easy on you.
No.
Because like Patton Oswalt's gonna go, I already did this shit.
Right.
This fucking, yeah, you fucking biting my moves.
I saw Patton at a party the other night. Humble brag.
I don't know why I was there.
I grabbed him for a second. I was like, "We gotta go out and have a drink and talk," because he did the Comedians of Comedy thing. And it's like well, there's got to be something to learn from Patton Oswalt. This is not all the more so because we're not doing comedy. We're not doing so we're not comedians of comedy. We're comedians of deception. We can't play musical instruments. I don't mean to say we. You'll be fine.
Oh, I'll be fine. Ladies and gentlemen, Boston, Massachusetts, midway through the show, the very Boston Adam Goldberg comes up on stage.
Hey, fuck you. You don't owe me money.
Adam. How did you know I was going to fucking do that? I was going to say, we bring up the Boston Cliff Clavin version of Adam Goldberg, and you were already on your fucking feet.
We were coming at the same joke from different angles. It's like, if you were to say Boston, I was thinking I'm going to sneak into Boston.
That's
and
uncanny.
Be the bit.
But I really was going to do a bit. We're going to bring up the Boston U, and you were
oh,
halfway.
The Boston me. Oh, yeah. The Boston me. I sure love 2009. What up?
How did you know? It's so weird. You just fucking knew. Yeah. Dan, did you have to get your own vodka?
I was actually getting Adams.
I'm
trained now.
All right, Boston.
I know it makes him tick, and I know it makes him sleepy. I'm learning bad parenting lessons already.
And that is why the Statue of Liberty is not a big deal. That's why the Statue of Liberty and Ellis Island and Governor's Island, not so great.
Look, you're supposed to be doing this in a Boston accent right now. Like Cliff Clay.
Sorry, I stuttered instead of laughing at that really good joke. It's quite solid.
Hey, Aaron said you're not allowed to drink any of your medicine.
No, Aaron says I get really drunk really easily when I drink on my medicine.
All right.
Don't snitch.
Fucking drunk.
Take your roommate's lies and appreciate having said them.
Wow. You know what? It's like fucking being. It's just like being in Boston, actually.
This is the wickedest, retardedest show.
Boston, you ride the T on that thing.
Boston is Boston can be a very angry. Anyone from here from Boston? Anybody? No? Really?
That guy knows what the fuck is going on.
Boston can be a kind of an angry town.
They're jocular.
And really, really racist. Like, that's our reputation just because we had severe busing riots.
Well, you're from there?
Yeah.
When you can't do the accent?
I was born, when I'm tired, I can do the accent. When I'm, Jeff, you're like Davis, like the square, right? Jeff Davis Square. You ride the T in that thing. Oh my God, you lace curtain motherfucker. You lace curtain motherfucker coming in calling Somerville Boston. That's retarded.
That's good. There we are. Adam Goldberg, everybody.
All right, Spencer, get up and start setting up your D&D equipment.
Wait, Dan, did you notice that? I said Adam Goldberg, and he actually walked off the stage.
Left. Yeah, he's not, yeah.
No, we're training him like Shamu.
Yeah, yeah.
But slowly his little flipper, his fin is going to start to droop over, and he's going to lose all spirit.
Yeah.
Somebody just, woo! Lose that spirit! We have to take a secret ballot of whether people are on or not on Adam's side at some point.
Well, we have that conversation with Dustin and I when we were editing it. Dustin was like, "What do you think?" And I was like, "Because we cut out for those of you." I feel a little bit bad about this, only in the sense of like I put myself in Adam's shoes listening to the most recent recording where it was basically the only thing I had time to cut out was all of Adam. Like, I was so behind schedule because we skipped Thanksgiving and people are like clamoring that your most important fans are the people that can do without you the least. You know, you want to let them down the least, and I know they're the craziest. But they're the most important, you know. You want to keep feeding them, or your audience will hate you, you know. So I have so much shit to do right now. I'm trying to write a CBS thing and a Fox thing, and I'm so behind. I got to leave on the 17th for Europe. My life is a nightmare. I got these Patton Oswalt parties to go to, and I just. I don't know why that made me gay. That was a bad choice. I was trying to be fancy, not gay. I wasn't doing a thing. I pumped it out. I pumped out the jam. Like, I just Dave Matthews did all over the fucking airwaves. But the one thing I did have time to cut out was Adam Goldberg coming up and reading his journals. I read my journals, and then Adam comes up and reads his journals. Adam's 24. He read his journals from his phone from when he was 20. It didn't have the same panache. It wasn't the... But there was other stuff I could have edited over time, but I didn't get surgical about the back half because I just ran out of time. So it's me and Jesus Diaz talking about the woes of being creative and not fulfilling it. You know, that's unedited. But anyways. It's not a question I want you guys to answer necessarily because, I say it's a coin landing on its edge. Like, when are we on Adam's side and when are we against him?
I was very fascinated by his journal. journals from 4 years ago because it was a glimpse into a time when Barack Obama was still in office. It was really it was an amazing flashback.
When Adam was journaling with his phone back then. I don't know. I don't know, man. I know that, like, sometimes I feel like when we bring Adam up, and then I like try to ride the line, like I want the audience to know, it's like, look, this guy doesn't have a golden ticket or anything. Don't get mad at him. We'll make fun of him. But then he sits down, and then sometimes I feel like, oh, did we just make fun of, what am I, Howard Stern? I got like a whack pack? Like like now what am I doing? Like, remember when the guy that was sitting there, where's Big Red?
Big Red, he's not here?
Yeah.
I took care of Big Red.
Adam, if we find out that Big Red has been killed, you're under indictment immediately.
Last week in particular, Adam just said, "I took care of Big Red," for the audience.
I love Big Red. Come back, Big Red.
Last week there was this guy sitting over here, this huge laugh, like super giggly, like really infectious, and everyone loved him. And it was like, it was a big guy with red hair, and his name was Big Red. And we brought him up, and he was saying, "I'm Big Red." And every question he answered, like, I would go like, "What's your name?" I go, "You can call me Big Red." And I go like, "Well, where are you from?" The area? No, sir. Like he just kind of like
he leaned into everything. He had a laugh like a big Viking dolphin.
Yeah. It was amazing. Yeah, like a helium zeppelin full of Norse warriors.
Helios.
But then this is where I started to feel like a bully, because I was like, well, we have Big Red up, so I was like, oh, it's a new character. And then I started doing the bit of like, oh, I bet Adam Goldberg's really jealous. We brought Adam up. And then at one point, Adam, you know, of course he goes like, oh, fuck Big Red, or he mocked Big Red's laugh or something. Like Adam's not a hateful person. He's like, he's diabolical. He's calculating. He's anything but human. But he's robotic. He's a million flaws, fundamental ones, like from the carbon based flaws. But I don't think he is a hateful person. I don't think he's like petty. I think all of us are kind of like in a big warm nerd hug here, kind of.
The point is that you're not a bully.
And I. But I felt like I was pitting. Like I had a flashback that I didn't share with everybody to like the back of the school bus. So it was like that was a bullying technique when bullies who would pick on me. I remember sometimes then another thing they'd do is they'd go, "Hey Dan, what do you think of so and so?" You know what I mean? It's like a bullying technique. It made me feel like I was like because then one person goes like, "I don't know, he's wearing a hat." I go, "Oh shit! Oh shit! You gonna take that from him?" And it's such bullshit. It's like Nazi bullshit. I don't like it. Anyways, I mistakenly crossed that line. It wasn't intentional. I just think it was behavioral and not intentional. I wasn't thinking about it. I didn't mean to pit Adam against Big Red. But Adam, if you killed Big Red, that's fucked up. But, like, I don't know.
Can we have a little
link? You got to admire the loyalty.
When Cheruz is well again, can we get a little link of maybe just like find a little Easter egg? You have to search our website.
For Adam?
Yeah. And then there's some really gothy like design and music where he's just reading his journals.
Can Adam just come up like as a flash animation about the thing? Are you using Safari? This website will function in that web browser, but it would work much better in a Linux-based environment.
Ladies and gentlemen,
meet me down at the bottom and I'll tell you more.
let's reintroduce our...
This is the tour section. You'll find all kinds of concert information and ticket links for all available dates. See you on the next page. I found the gold bug. Remember the Richard Scarry books? They had a gold bug? Goldberg? Gold bug?
Adam Goldbug.
Can't be a coincidence.
Yeah.
Do you know he calls his car the Goldsmobile?
That's riveting. Well,
tell you, he also does better than Chevy would up here. I'm telling you that.
Huh?
I'm telling you.
Get them up here together.
Yeah. Chevy would just burst into flame.
Can we are you a queer or a... Can we do like a mock-up?
Fuck face.
Let's do a mock-up of Family Feud and make them play each other.
I can't. My targeting system's offline. I can't.
Let's introduce our dungeon master who's been patiently sitting up here. Spencer, everyone.
The Ayatollah of 20-sided Rolla. I don't know.
The
Duke of Dice.
That's the only one. That's it.
The King of the Caliph of character sheets.
The Prince of Pencils.
There's always a Sultan of something.
Right. Yeah. The Sultan of
Sarah.
I like saving
throws. The Sultan of saving throws. Thank you.
There you go.
Nerd alert. Oh wait, that doesn't work here. No. Nerd alert.
Spencer, if you would be so kind, bring us up to date on the campaign.
All right. Let me just let this come down a bit. Yeah. When we last met, our heroes had come upon a gnoll village. While contemplating their next move, the party was ambushed by Yurch, the gnoll. The gnoll identified himself as an allied gnoll of the Blackpaw tribe and temporary second-in-command of the Butts Barbarians. Yurch told the heroes that this camp belonged to the vile White Skull gnolls, and Quark talked to squirrels and shit. Soon, our heroes found themselves in a pit trap, facing a deadly gelatinous cube. Through the magic of unnatural male enhancement and a critical stomp, the foe was felled and the friends found freedom. The gnoll encampment lay ahead, and Sharpie's blood-tracking spell pulled them ever forward.
Now, you should get her up here. Do we want to bring Aaron? Aaron McGathy?
All right, well, there's a character sheet for Aaron.
Thank you.
No, I know. Spencer has become Aaron's guardian in D&D. There's nothing to apologize. I sleep with her. I understand the instinct to protect her. And I can't see enough of her.
Welcome Aaron McGathy to the stage. Yeah! For better or for worse.
I just spilled vodka all over my face, so I don't know if I have.
For worse.
I was pinching the cup and I squirted vodka in my face.
Well, I will hide the ring a week longer. No biggie. Did you? Was that a don't joke about that?
This feels terrible.
Oh, because the right response is don't fucking joke about marrying a girlfriend. That's not funny. Yeah, it's irresistible. It's irresistible sometimes.
Women love jokes about pretending to not want to marry them. It's our favorite thing.
Or just teeing up, like, yeah, let's get married. Like, always hilarious. Always helps your relationship too.
Well, good news. I squirted vodka all over my face because I'm wasted, so I won't remember anything.
I always don't remember. We make the mistake of playing Dungeons & Dragons at the last point in the show, so no matter how sober I am when I come up here, I'm always, like, I'm wrapped by Spencer's description of what we did last week. Yeah. I'm like, okay, all right. Blackpaw Knowles, you say.
All right, so where we stand, Spencer?
You guys just got out of the pit that, you know, you escaped from, and now you're running again towards the village.
So it's me?
It's the village where my dad was going to meet these...
You came upon the village after casting a blood spell, and it pulled you towards your father.
Oh, right.
And right. It led you here, and right. Then you encountered Yurch and fell in the hole.
And these are the bad gnolls.
I just read all this
the
stuff.
The camp is the bad gnolls, right? It's bad gnoll camp?
Bad gnoll camp, yes.
But we're with a good gnoll guide.
Yeah, he ran away, though. Remember, oh. you pulled a sword on him, and then he ran away.
We pulled a sword on him?
Yeah.
What? Were we drunk?
Yeah, probably.
Do you remember pulling a sword on our guide?
Dude, all I remember was talking to squirrels.
It was good.
Yeah. I feel terrible.
So we know these are bad gnolls, but what's the reason that we want to go in there?
Is he
a captive in there or something?
Well, here's what I remember. My dad had a deal with the dwarves My dad had a deal with the good gnolls that they were going to go take out bad gnolls along the way. This is what our good gnoll guide said. Right. And they were going to take out a bad gnoll camp, and that was going to be kind of like a quid pro quo thing. I'll say it right later in ADR. And then Neil will insist on it. He's a very rigorous post-productive director.
Neil Berkeley, everybody. Yes. Famous filmmaker. Documentarian.
Did you know that Wayne White wasn't even in Beauty is Embarrassing?
Like, I didn't know that.
Neil made that character up.
Really?
He wore a fake beard.
Wow.
and pretended to have worked on Pee Wee Herman and just shot himself the whole way. He loves being on camera. He loves being involved. He's the Dan Harmon of documentarians. He ends up making everything about himself. He just rolls around in a bed of mirrors.
So many cuts all over his body.
If Neil Berkeley ain't in it, it ain't a Neil Berkeley feature. It's like he chomps a cigar and says that.
That's on his car.
All right, stop it.
Can I use move silently to go into the cave?
Yeah, you can try and move silently. Yeah, let's roll for it.
Ha ha! Adventure. Silent.
No,
adventure.
You can't say things out loud when you're moving silently. You just wasted a move silently. You're making a bunch of ruckus.
Indeed, you do make a bunch of ruckus as you make your way towards the Knoll Village.
Here we go.
Even still, no one seems to take notice of you.
All right.
You do notice flames licking the skins of the dwellings of the Knolls, and smoke billows out into the sky.
Oh,
you can
shit.
Hear the sounds of screaming and shouting and the ringing of clashing blades.
Uh-oh. Oh, your dad's in there kicking ass right now.
He's been here.
Let's go in and help.
These licking flames remind me a lot of the belt that used to lick my ass.
Wait. Your dad licked your ass?
No, his belt did.
His belt? How do you know it was his belt?
It's a magical belt.
Because it was hard and held his pants up.
That's called his dick.
His dad hit him with a belt.
You weren't there.
I'm just going on what you give me.
Sharpie, yes. I must confess, I am 4,000 years old and I was there.
Jesus.
Yes.
Her face is covered in vodka. I feel like that there's a battle going on, and we owe it to the memory, at least of your kinship of your father, to go in there and help in this battle.
All right, let's head towards the fray.
Yes, I have many arrows. Let's go.
Shoot them one at a time.
Arriving at the village, you're met with a grisly scene. Flames consume the tall grasses surrounding the bone dwellings, and wooden furniture, animal hides, and all sorts are on fire. A few of the huts are collapsed, as if devastated by a single blow. And the corpses! Gnolls lie slain in pools of their own blood, some with vicious gashes, others with broken backs and necks, and still others torn asunder or cleft in twain. You hear the pounding of massive feet shaking the earth, and then you see him. Lord Mango Butts-a-Lot.
Mango?
Wait, can I tee up his entrance? Just let me look. I'm looking at the corpses, and then I go, what dire force wrought this?
And then you hear the poof, and the puddles of blood shiver, you know?
Yeah.
And then he's coming. War chief of the Butts Barbarians, standing 7 feet tall, boasting 380 pounds of raw muscle. The barbarian chief's body is burning red with the bloodlust of a barbarian rage. Clad in studded leather armor and wearing a dazzling and magnificent multicolored dream cloak, red, blue, and yellow, the colors of the Butts-a-Lot tribe, he also wears a great horned helmet and a dazzling magic belt. Upon seeing you, he...
I think I know where this is going.
Upon seeing you, he charges, barreling at inhuman speeds towards you, swinging a massive anchor as easily as if it were a small wood hatchet in wild, dangerous arcs.
He gets like this. Run! We have to wait for his berserker rage to settle out.
But I, as a fellow barbarian, recognize him and jump in the way of Lord Butts-a-Lot and Sharpie and say, no! This is Sharpie.
I will say that realizing you are a barbarian and you realize that you don't think you can stop a barbarian with words, but you can try that if you'd like.
It's like telling Adam Goldberg like to come up on stage later. Like it's not a...
Sorry, I can't use my words.
You definitely can. I mean, I'm just telling you that know barbarians being a barbarian and they get mindless.
Let's just get, I'm saying get out of it as quickly as I can. I'm saying, like, he gets like this. Like, I was raised by a barbarian. I get it. Like, let him peter out. He's in a rage. He's not gonna understand anybody.
He's not gonna.
You get it, but you're also always fighting against it.
Fighting against what? Him?
You.
What?
And him.
Not bothered by your idle chit-chat, he charges, pulling into the group of the three of you. He manages to knock Dan and Jeff high up into the air, and they land flat on their backs. You guys each take 2 damage.
What?
Motherfucker. Can I use my bird?
That would have killed me at level 1.
Spencer, may I use my bird to deliver a message to Mango?
I don't think you have a bird.
I have a bird. It says 1 bird.
Oh, that's a token. Yeah, you could. It's a okay. She's talking about Qual's feather token, you guys. It's a magical item that summons a bird that can deliver a message. That's what's happening right here. Where's your behind the scenes?
I'm sorry.
No. I'm just explaining the game because
You're
it's
so
hard.
Frustrated.
Oh,
okay.
I just sound like a little bitch sometimes. Sorry.
No.
It's just
no.
You're
no,
my biggest advocate. You
it's
never
puberty.
Sound like a bitch.
Mulrain, this is a perfect time to summon a bird.
2 of your friends lie flat on their back.
Yeah, go get that bird.
Well, I wanted to deliver a message to Mango and let him know that Butzalot is his son, with the bird.
Use your mouth to deliver that message.
Shut up, Adam.
I mean, if my face doesn't deliver that message, in my next available turn, I'll use my mouth to deliver the message.
It's your turn.
Yeah. By going, Dad!
Your noises make no, impact on his fragile brain. Fragile? Yeah, I don't know.
So my bird, did my bird never go?
You didn't say a message, so do you want to say a message and then it'll happen?
Okay. Yes. The man that you see before you, the bearded, kind-eyed...
Speed it up!
His face looks like you could
treat it like a tweet, 140
forever.
Characters or less.
The kind-eyed, steel-dicked man that you see before you is your son.
Is that what Ian McKellen whispered to that moth on the... I always wondered what he was saying to that moth in Lord of the Rings. Like, he said some shit and then it went away. And then it came back and it's like, what did he say? Go get the eagles. Tell him to come by at just the right time.
I can't believe Adam
His
killed
lips
Big Red.
These are like soft valleys that giants roll in after long nights to massage their backs because they're so soft. Sorry, guys.
There's a limit of 100 words on the spell. Aaron,
well,
the rules.
Aaron. The person that you see is your son. That's your son, that little beardy.
She said it. She clicked send. She did it.
She clicked send. The coin transforms into a beautiful dove and flies right into the ear of Lord Mango Butzalot. You hear it tweeting softly, and then he claps the side of his face and crumples and falls to the ground.
Kill your dad.
The dad just killed the bird.
Yeah,
he heard your message.
You thought the dad crumbled to the ground?
Why would he kill a bird that talks?
Because he's crazy.
He's in a berserker rage, you guys. Like,
Butzalot, can we just kill your dad? He seems shitty. He just killed a bird who tried to talk to him. What's
I cast
next?
Mage armor.
You cast mage armor.
And I stand up and I look him right in the eye.
Quickly.
Prom night style.
I don't get the reference. I don't see things.
Dan. Oh, sorry, Sharpie. You sure you don't want to send another bird up there?
No, what? Not the movie prom night. I mean the actual ritual prom night in all adolescents' lives when you finally bear down on your fucking dad because he won't give you the keys to the car because he didn't clean your room and you're not supposed to go to prom.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
Actual, like looking gangly and ridiculous and having your first pubescent, like, showdown with your alcoholic, shitty...
Pubescent Showdown's my favorite band.
All right, you cast Mage Armor.
You have a lot of favorite bands there.
Get it out of your system, old man. You couldn't kill me when I was a kid. Maybe you could finish the job now.
Glowing with magic light,
he turns and charges directly at you. Red eyes, bloodshot.
I hold my ground and squint my eyes because I'm a coward, but I've made my decision. This is how I would like to die.
He hits the axe. No, I'm sorry. It's an anchor. He swings the anchor in a wild arc, and it strikes you directly in the chest.
He fights with an anchor?
Yeah.
It's like a belt for a boat.
Jesus Christ, my dad.
Strikes you with such force that it shatters your mage armor, dissipating it.
I go into a berserker rage, and I attack him to defend my friend's honor.
All right, it's adorable.
So you just jump on him with your sword?
What's my crazy sword one? The my flaming sword?
Yeah.
I use my flaming sword and go into a rage and attack.
Pulling out your flaming sword from its sheath, you go into a rage. It's real great. Flying into an angry rage, you launch yourself full of adrenaline towards the barbarian warlord and swing in a masterful, clean stroke. You miss
shit
harmlessly.
There's gotta be some item from my childhood that I can show him, like in a movie.
Cast magic scrapbook.
He never participated in my sticker collection. That's half the reason I left.
But Sharpie, didn't you hang out in his basement a lot, like where his own like work lair? Like, isn't there some sort of token or memory from that you could summon to?
That's where you got hit by a belt. That's like the place where it happened.
What did my mom call him?
Mango.
Aren't there some magazines?
When he hit me and you said my mage armor dispersed, like, was there any other effect? Did it just take out the mage armor and still stand?
You didn't die.
Right. But did it hurt me?
It did not. No, the mage armor took the brunt of your attack there.
So I say, hit me again! I'm your son!
He doesn't respond to your words. He's in a mindless rage. His tongue lolls and his eyes roll around in his sockets, and he lets and unleashes a mighty roar.
Okay, I shoot an arrow at Mango.
You shoot an arrow from your bow. You strike Mango right in the chest.
You guys know this is my dad.
No, I wanted to say in a different area, other than his chest. But he has a big chest, right? So it's okay.
Where are my spells? Do I? There. I got them. I found them. Where am I? Hey, come on, don't bully me.
So is Mango willing to talk now?
No, he's not. He charges like a wounded animal, despite taking 14 non-lethal damage.
It's just like Dan's dad, hard skin for no reason. Mango.
Charm person
fails to affect mindless ragers.
I use diplomacy.
You can use diplomacy.
I get diplomatic all over him.
You fail to get diplomatic.
This is not my day.
I'm sorry, you guys. The dice are sucking.
Guys, I'm sorry. I'm a real piece of shit today.
I shoot an arrow at his feet, like both of his feet. I wait till I'm parallel so I can shoot both of his feet with
through
the same
one
arrow.
Foot.
Yes, and then to the other foot. Like it's a little like real world road wheels challenge where your feet are tied together.
That's a pretty tough shot to nail there.
Yeah, but, pretty shitty reference, see. But yes.
You fail to meet your mark.
Oh.
Hypnotism.
Is that one of your things that you just want to talk about?
Can I reject that?
Okay.
Like on a drive-thru? Sleep.
Sleep. Ooh. He's entitled to a will save. Oh, shit. He falls asleep.
I had to learn to do that. That's my origin story.
Take his belt off while he's sleeping.
Jesus, you guys, that's my dad.
No.
Shot arrows at his chest.
So Mango's asleep right now?
He's asleep.
I run up and take his anchor away from him.
Wait, don't do anything.
I'm just disarming him. He's
got friends. They're going to think that we're trying to kill him.
I run up and I thrust at his head like I'm humping him. And then I giggle and I run away and I'm embarrassed.
I look around for allies of my father. Like, what?
I take a post-it note and draw a dick and balls and put it on his forehead.
You succeed.
I put his hand in a cup of warm water.
No. Not gonna fly.
I put some dog shit on his finger and tickle his nose.
There's no dog shit.
Let's just write racist on his forehead. Take an Instagram.
Sharpie, do you want us to defeat him, or do you want him to join us?
My first order of business was to get him to stop killing us. Second on that list, though, is not have us kill him. That's my dad. Came here to meet him.
Of course.
I'm looking around for his attendants.
You don't see any attendants. The burning Null encampment seems rather barren. It seems like everyone who could die is already dead.
He took care of business.
Can I give Mango Betzalot my bedroll?
Yeah, well, he's unconscious, so he can't accept it. Like, you could place it on him or something.
Yeah, I'm gonna.
Yeah.
Or you can, like, you could tuck him in, I guess.
Yeah, Mulrain, put a bedroll on him.
here's my sincere advice. He was in a berserker rage. That's why everyone here is dead. That's why he's the leader of his tribe. Well, he's not himself when he's in that mode. Like, if we tie him up and take all his shit when he wakes up, he'll actually be pissed at us normal, like sober. If we just let him have his shit, he'll wake up normal. He's not going to be in a berserker rage when he wakes up. Like, he'll be normal. He's still my dad. He's not going to kill us when he wakes up.
Sharpie, when was the last time that you and your dad had a really nice time together? Should we try to recreate that?
Well, I don't want to play the blame game. I'm not. I don't come from that school of therapy. It wasn't a positive relationship. I left and became a wizard. But,
But I mean, was there a time, like, your last good memory with him? Like, can we position him in a certain way?
I don't think there's any manipulating this guy. I think he's kind of salt of the earth type, and manipulation is more.
Well, then can we eat his organs?
I feel like I'm talking to like an artificial intelligence. I don't know what you're saying has to do with what I'm saying, but what my recommendation is that we prop the guy up in a comfortable position with his weapons at hand and wait for him to wake up. A normal guy. He's not going to like me when he wakes up, but he's not going to try to kill us. He's okay. My dad.
I summon a squirrel.
It's the same day as the last day we met, and you can only cast Speak with Animals once per day.
Okay. I'll bide my time.
Soon.
I have a flashback.
You have a flashback. To when?
10 years old.
10 years old.
I choose Jeff Davis to play the role of young Lord Butzalot, barbarian, in the tower of wherever I grew up when I was 10.
I'll play the tower.
Why is there a vodka all over this tower? God damn it, I've been working all day, been kicking Noel's asses, son of a bitch.
Father.
What?
I've been thinking about what you said.
I don't give two shits. I don't pay you to think. I don't even pay you.
You said that I'd never make a good barbarian.
I know that. Look at you. You don't have the forearms.
But what if... what of magic, Father?
Magic. La-dee-da. Like magic.
It's not
I'm
like
going to
that,
go hang
but...
out with Patton Oswalt at magic parties.
Magic can be used to defeat monsters and gain treasure, same as barbarism.
Show me some magic right now and prove it to me. You just pooped on the carpet. That's not magic. That's disgusting. Anyone can poop on the carpet. Look, I cast magic fart.
I need to go abroad and study it. Otherwise, it won't work. That's what I'm saying.
Well, so being a barbarian is not good enough for you, huh?
I didn't say that. I'm not good enough. You always say I'm not good enough.
You're not good enough.
Let me be good enough. Let me do what I'm good at.
Oh, yeah.
I'm made of stone.
We live in a magic tower. Why can't I go to a magic place and ply my trade?
You know what? Do it. You go. You go. Just leave.
And I'll see you in about 15 years, 20 years.
And you'll be proud of me.
Yeah. Well, maybe I will, maybe I won't. Maybe I'll be too busy saving the world from evil mole gangs. And maybe I won't care about magic, because maybe magic doesn't put bread on the table. Maybe sometimes using your big forearms does.
Magic can totally put bread on the table.
Do it. Show me. Show
not
me right
at
now.
Earlier
show
levels.
Me right now. Show me right now. Don't poop on this table, son. Get out of my weird drunk castle.
I cast I hate you.
I never want to see you again. 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 Again.
You snap back into the real world. You feel a confusing mix of emotions, of passions, of adrenaline, of memories, of timelines weaving past and present. You level up.
What?
Flashback, level up. Flashback, level up. You can level up by having a memory.
That's the best D&D game ever. All right, let's have it for Spencer. Let's end there where we level up. That's where I'd stop in a video game where we level up. Take our time to pick those new skills.
Absolutely. Spencer, everybody. All that. Aaron McGaffey.
I didn't know. You know, Neil, who doesn't exist, had to say to me, I think D&D is the highlight. I think you got to figure out a way to play D&D on the road.
You mean Neil Berkeley, the megalomaniac filmmaker?
The Dennis Hopper of documentaries?
The Morgan Spurlock of our movie?
Man, I don't know what you intended to do, but I'm in this thing. It's about me now.
I mean,
I wish my name was Meal Berkeley, because it's got me in it.
And I.
There's no...
There's an I.
There's no Neil in team. There's some of it, but you'd have to deconstruct it. That's how I'm going to do.
I'm just saying, like, as an example of it, you know, he's sitting at three Amstels. I'm still trying to get him to agree to do the thing. He immediately mentions D&D's the thing. It gave me a renewed vigor. I think we played better D&D tonight. Because
stakes are higher.
And like, yeah, it's like...
Because we're going on an actual campaign.
And
I are going on an actual...
Campaign!
A campaign across,
yeah.
across the... In search of riches and glory.
Yeah.
Can I describe it dramatically?
Oh, I wish you would.
Yes.
Well, not like... I'm just in general, not right now.
Oh, I thought you were play the D&D queue and have...
In a cramped tour bus on a state highway somewhere. Yeah, say it like this.
All right.
I hit the wrong button.
It's come that time in the Harmontown show. Oh, that sounded like a good. It's like we, that's what we lack in our show. Like where it has that kind of like, hey, bring it at home. Kind of like so the audience can go, okay, the show's fucking over. I don't have to steel myself against the possibility of this being 3.5 hours long. This is the good thing about the show is the energy's freewheeling. But the only downside of that is always the paying the piper at the end because they go like, who's gonna end it? He's a lunatic.
You are, Dan.
So what have we learned? What have we learned at tonight's Harmontown? We learned... We learned that Neil doesn't want to be in the movie that he's shooting, but that he will be the star of it by not being in it. We learned that Adam...
We didn't learn shit about Adam.
We didn't learn anything about Adam. But we learned to be afraid of him. If we didn't know that already. We learned that women and gay people and black people are the best people in the world. Right, Tennessee? Fuck you, buddy. Hey, motherfucker. I'm sick of your shit. I'm going to fuck you again.
We learned that Greg Barrett is our mortal enemy.
We learned that I have a lot to learn about going on the road, that I still have one more week to prepare.
We learned that Dave Matthews will happily shit in your head because they have no regard for human safety.
Yeah. And we learned that we learned to fuck your mama. No. I didn't.
Wait.
Yeah. Yo.
Yo, end of the show. Yo, yeah.
Yeah.
Yo, ew, ending the show. Fuck your mama, gonna learn and grow. Fuck your mama and her knee and her foot. Fuck your mama's chimney, got the soot on my dick. Fuck your mama's wick, she's a candle and I'm gonna get sick. Puked your mama up, out of my mouth. Fuck your mama in the east, west, north and south. Fuck your mama, from the salt to the pepper. Fuck your mama and I'm not a hepper. It's not a word, that's why I'm not it. It's not a word, fuck your mama. In the butt and the head. Fuck your mama and your daddy instead. Started fucking your daddy to even it out. Fucked your daddy in his nose and his mouth. Apostrophe T. Mouth. You meant, let me get. Yo. I need a topic. I need a topic, yo.
Eyes.
I fucked your mama's eyes. I fucked your mama and it was a big surprise. I fucked your mama in her brow and her nose. I fucked your mama because that's how the eyes goes. I fucked your mama in the middle of the face. I fucked your mama all over the place. I fucked your mama on the left. Fucked your mama on the right. Fucked your mama in the morning. Didn't fuck her at night.
I fucked your mama on the left. I fucked your mama on the right.
Didn't
fuck her on night.
Sorry,
fucked your mama on the left.
Fucked your mama on the right. Fucked her in the morning. Didn't fuck her at night. Fucked your mama on the left.
Fucked your mama
on the right.
Fucked her in the morning.
Didn't fuck her at night. Fucked your mama on the left. Fucked your mama on the right.
Didn't fuck her in the morning.
Didn't fuck her at night. But still gotta work out the. Wait, we gotta work it out. Let's try.
Thank you for coming to Harmon Chan, everyone.
Next time. Next week. Next week.
I'm Jeff Davis. Dan Harmon, thank you, Adam Goldberg, Spencer, Aaron McGathy, Neil Berkley, who really, really is just running roughshod over the show.
It's getting uncomfortable how involved he is.
Neil, if we could get 5 minutes with you not on our dick up here, that'd be terrific. Also, Katie Levine, our audio recording, Zach McKeever, tech on site, Emily Gordon, producer, Daniel Kramer, program director, Dustin Marshall, podcast producer, Mo Fafelbab, on site director, Jenny Fine, our logo artist, Sharui Shakut, how do you say it? Website design. Thank you so much, Nerd Melt. Thank you all for coming. We will see you next time. Maybe Chevy Chase, maybe not. We all shall see. One more good one for Dan Harmon, your mayor.
Fuck your mom. Fuck your mom.
He's made it clear.
I fucked your mom. Went to her house and fucked her.
You've been pretty candid about the fact that you fucked their mom.
I think I need to expound. Fucked your mom so many times and ways you don't understand. It was sublime.
This has been Closing Past the Cell. Or Selling Past the Close, whatever the fuck you call it. Good night, all.
Punching holes in your Harmontown cards over there. I know that some of you are this close to a freebie.
You just have to do a good bow, Dan. Dan, come out and bow again. Dan. Encore. You guys want an encore, right? Yeah, come on. One more time for Dan Harmon. Do a big bow.
Thank you, Los Angeles. Or Filler City, if we're using this to fill in a city. Yeah. Thank you, city.
Dan.
What a city.
Dan, close with an apology to Phoenix if we're going there first.
I'm so sorry, Phoenix. So sorry we went there first. What?
They hate us. We were pretty hard on Phoenix.
Oh,
really.
Phoenix. Phoenix, I'm sorry. Phoenix, it's okay. We're going to be fine.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Boo.
We'll do some wild stuff now. And that's how you make a statue disappear. Is this your card? There's no card. Disappeared twice. You motherfucker, I'm gonna fucking rape your soul. Who would have thought we'd end up in London? Oh! Thanks for having us on SNL as we passed through New York. This city has zoo I've ever seen. It's so uncruel to animals. Fuck San Diego. San Diego's got the best zoo in the world. Don't forget the veterans. Spit on them. Depending on, I don't know what cities are. We'll mop it up next week.
It's the stuff.